guys, welcome back to the Physique Factory podcast. And today, I bet you didn't expect to hear me doing the intro two times in a row. Oof, what a shock. I'm good at it though, eh? Like, I know last week I said you were better at it, but I actually think I'm better at it now. A bit of practice. What do you think?
I don't like it. It's change. I like doing it. I'm artistic as fuck. And I don't like change.
Let's start again.
Welcome back to the Physique Factory podcast. That's fucking better.
Yeah, to be fair, you've got the voice for it. Like, when I hear that, I'm like, yeah. But it's now the summer transfer window, so that's good news.
I know we're getting Kuna, we're getting Mbeumo, we're getting, we need a fucking
You're
striker.
getting who? Who's the first guy?
Kuna, Matthias Kuna.
Interesting. We have a guy called Kuhn.
Oh.
No, genuinely, Nicholas Kuhn, great player.
Yes, I know, he's a German guy, isn't he? Yes, Clay.
I say great player. He had a good spell, actually, and then he kind of tailed off at the end of the season, which is a bit frustrating.
He scored in Europe a few times, didn't he?
Scored against Leipzig, remember that? But yeah, and he scored against Bayern as well, actually, because that was like the team he played for at a youth level, so it was like going full circle. But like, what have United got to do? Like, obviously for United, it's like, you know, it's a shit show, so you've got a lot to do. But what would you expect to see United do this summer transfer window?
So what come out today is Bruno staying. I thought he was going to leave because Saudi were going to pay him 700k a week.
Is that all? We make more than that, don't we?
That's fucking ridiculous. So I thought he was going to go, and I thought it would be like a smart one just because we get 100 million for him. It's like going into his 30s. Thought, yeah, it makes sense. But he's come out and turned it down and said he's staying. So fair play.
Is that just because he wants to win trophies at United?
I think if like Bayern or some other team came in for him in Europe, he'd go. But yeah, and he just don't want to go Saudi, I reckon, because he's just dead over there. Have you seen like the stadiums? There's no fucking fans in the
I
stadiums.
have seen a little bit of it, yeah. I've not looked massively into it, but it's like when China, remember when China were doing it for a bit there,
Oh,
but all those
yeah.
players, like, it's just not really going to happen, is it? It's not really seeming to take off.
No, but again, we're trying to get rid of Rashford, Sancho, Antony. Who the fuck else? Onana, that goalkeeper's got to go. He's so fucking bad.
He was good for Inter before, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he's just so bad. If you hit a shot straight at him, he'll dive out of the way and it'll go in. So he's just so, he's so bad. He's
As a
so.
goalkeeper, that's probably not great.
No, it's not bad. I think that's one of the things as a goalkeeper, you need to be like saving those shots. Because remember the one against Forest away, shot went at him, he dived out of the way of the ball. I'm like, what is he doing? It was
We had
so.
a keeper, a guy called Barkas, and he was notoriously shit. And he came out and said that he actually preferred playing up front or something. I was like, well, that just sums it up, doesn't it?
And that's why I don't play for it anymore.
Well, he plays for some Dutch team. I can't remember which one, but I did see a video of him making some wonder saves, and I was like, where were they? Where were they before? Like, anyway, but that's that. But Celtic need a bit of a reshuffle as well, in my opinion. There's, you know, I think there's going to be a few comings and goings over the summer. I'm hearing bits about Rio Hatate apparently going, which Hatate's a funny player. I don't know if you've ever watched him, but he's like, he can be absolutely amazing, and then for like fucking 10 games after that, he's shite. But then you get that absolutely amazing game again, and you're like, ah, oh, like there is a player there, you know what I mean? But it's just not consistently there enough. I think we need a wee refresh in midfield. We need another left back. We've got Kieran Tierney coming in on a free. That is an absolute steal of a transfer, by the way, considering we sold him for what, 25 million? That was only like 2 years ago or something, 3 years ago. Maybe longer, to be fair. But anyway, got him back on a free. We need a backup for him because I think the guy that's at left back now, Greg Taylor, seems to be off. What else do we need? A striker. Badly need a striker. We've got like one proper striker. So,
You need Samaras back.
Samaras was, I think he got a tough time of it. You know that? I think people used him as a bit of a scapegoat because, like, he could be, again, amazing or he could be pretty poor. But, like, yeah, there's always, like, scapegoats in teams. Like, even Greg Taylor that was on about that left back, he's a bit of a Celtic scapegoat at the minute. I think he gets a tough time of it. But actually, I think we're going to miss him, to be honest. But, like, who's a scapegoat at United? Everyone.
Everybody, yeah, fucking hell. The goalkeeper, Hoyland, oh my God. So he's just shit anyway. He's so bad. He's so
Who would
fucking.
you keep at United?
I'm sort of glad Bruno's staying. If he went, it was fair enough. Then we had more money. But yeah, it's Bruno, defence. I don't mind defence. We've got some good defenders like Maguire, Delitt, Mazraoui, Martinez, Heaven. We've got a good defence. I don't mind the defence. Right back, fucking Diogo Dalot. I reckon we should cash in on him. God, I don't like him.
I don't
He's just
watch enough English football, you know that, to even know who half these players are.
Dalot's fucking shit. He's right wing back. He ain't good. He's not good. We need a right wing back.
What about that Garnacho or whatever his name is?
Oh, he's going. Yeah, he'd be going for about 40 million. He doesn't fit into the system.
I like him though. Like, see, when I have watched Man United, so I watched a couple of your Europa League games, and I thought he looked lively. I always thought like he was gonna look like he was gonna do something.
Yeah, he looks. He is good. He can do something, but he's just so hit and miss. He's
Yeah.
only 20, but I mean, if we cash in, because he's not really the. He doesn't suit our system, and then we've got those two lads coming in. Who's going to play both the number 10s? Because we play that like 3-4-3 sort of thing, don't we?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, with the 2 10s behind the one striker. So yeah, I mean the left back's all right. That dog, he gets forward, but I think that Diallo might be playing right wing back, which isn't too bad. He always does
That the
something.
striker guy that's at Rangers.
Yeah, he's like a number 10, but he can play. He gets up and down. He's just technically not the best at defending. But he could.
Well, I mean, he was awful at Rangers, but I thought they played him as a striker, so that's maybe why, if he's a defender.
He's not even a defender. No, he's like a number 10. He's like a number 10 on the winger, but he put him on the wing and he puts the work in, so he can play there.
Ah,
So I
like a
reckon,
sort of wing back sort of thing. Okay.
yeah, so Diallo, he might be like putting him there, and then midfield it's probably going to be like Bruno and Agate. And then we probably need to bring in someone else because Eriksen's left. And yeah, I think, I don't know, we just need a new keeper. We need a new front three, which we've got two of them. We just need one more in terms of the striker. I want that Jokeres.
So there's a lot potentially happening then.
Yeah, again, Rashford, Garnacho, Sancho, Antony, Luke Shaw. He needs to just fucking go. Casemiro, Onana. Who else am I thinking? There's more.
We as I say, we need to do our business quick because we've got Champions League qualifiers this year, which we didn't have last year. We were just straight into it. And historically, when we've had qualifiers, the Celtic board have put off spending money until we get through the qualifiers. So then we end up like putting out like not as good a squad as we could. We've maybe sold a couple of players by the time the qualifiers come around, and then we end up getting fucking beat sometimes in these qualifiers, or they wait until we get through them, and then it's last minute. Everything's like on transfer deadline day, which is a fucking rush, and then yeah, things don't go well. So I hope they do their business early. Hope they get their fucking finger out and get things moving. But we'll see. We will see. Is the transfer window actually open? Yeah, it's beginning
Yeah,
this week, isn't it?
it's open for 10 days. It's open for 10 days, closes for like the Club World Cup, then it opens again in normal, in July, because it always opens July, but they've opened it early before the Club World Cup, so you can
Interesting.
make plans. So hopefully, United get these two signings done, and then we need to get this Gyökeres or a striker. We got linked to that Mitrovic the other day, and I do not want him. I don't know if you remember him.
I do actually. I recognize the name. Where
Yeah.
did he play?
He played for Newcastle and Fulham. He used to
Yeah.
score for Serbian. He's in, is it Al Hilal or something like that at the moment? But he scored about 20 odd goals over there.
He's over there just raking in millions.
They want 40 million for him, and he's 31. I have 31. Yeah, 31. I don't want him.
A lot, isn't it? It brings us on to our subject of the day. Is well, basically, is coaches not looking the part? We're going to talk about that, weren't
Yeah,
we?
so what do you think? Does someone have to look the part to do the job in terms of coaching, PTing? What do you
It
think?
yeah, it's a tough one. Probably.
Yeah, you don't want to look like a sock filled with Greek yogurt.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of examples of coaches who don't look the part. When we think about football coaches, football managers, I mean, a lot of them don't look the part, and a lot of them have never been great players, but they're good coaches. So it's, I suppose it's not to say you have to have the best physique in the world, but you kind of need to show
They've
you can
still,
plan it.
even though they weren't like a great player, they've still experienced being a player, aren't they? So
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
the thing. If you ain't got experience, if you're trying to get somewhere, Where you've not been to be fair, the fucking hell, there's a lot of coaches out there coaching people at the Olympia, and they've never been to Olympia, so that says something. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you need to go to that level to coach that level, if that
Yeah,
makes sense.
exactly. Yeah, exactly. As long as you get someone in shape or you're getting these good results and shit like that, and then yeah, definitely.
But I suppose when we bring it down, we're talking about Olympia coaches there, but if we bring it back down to just PTs in general, like just a normal PT that works in pure gym in fucking Stirling, that's 20 minutes from me, do they need to be in shape? And it's a weird answer because it is yes and it is no. They need to definitely have gotten themselves in pretty good shape, in my opinion.
There's that because no one's gonna actually like buy into it. No one's gonna like think, oh yeah, he's in good shape, he knows how to do it. If they see like a fucking fat PT on the gym floor, that's the last person who they're gonna want to go to, unless it's some fucking old woman who's immobile or whatever. Which you probably
Yeah.
don't want.
Even then, what's the benefit, I suppose?
Yeah, I know, yeah. What is the benefit in it?
I think to understand it depends, like I suppose it depends what type of coach you are in a sense. Because if you're a powerlifting coach, you don't need to be in shape, but you probably need to have powerlifted. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
exactly.
If you're a high rocks coach, for example, you don't need to look the part, essentially. It would probably help, but you don't need to look the part. But you need to have done a high rocks,
Yeah,
probably.
I've done well at it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I again, do you need to know, like, not completely. There will be people out there who, like, are caveats to this, but it's certainly going to fucking help, isn't it? If you want to be a bodybuilding coach, it's certainly going to help to have done some bodybuilding.
Yeah, exactly. You need to experience it, don't you? But it's just that the way you attract clients. I mean, when they look at you and you think, oh, you're out of shape, I ain't gonna go with you. Especially if you're a PT, you're knocking about on the gym floor all day. And then there's a couple of PTs who work alongside you and they're in really, really good nick. And then there's someone who's fat. They're always gonna choose the in shape PT.
I think, yeah, a lot of the time anyway. There's obviously more that comes into it, but like I'm going to relate it back to dieting earlier in the year for me. It's like when you're speaking to clients and they're struggling and they're hungry and things like that and they're sacrificing at weekends, and you've not done that ever. Like you don't know what that feels like then, so it's like hard to relate. But I like to diet down from time to time just to remind myself what it feels like, because like I relate to my clients who's dieting a lot better when I'm dieting. And then obviously, like when it comes to like gaining muscle as well, when I'm in a gaining phase, I relate better to my clients who are in gaining phases. So for me, I've got a lot of clients that will want to get in shape and they'll want to gain, and they'll probably want to do like a bit of a lean bulk, which is kind of what I'm doing right now. And it's like doing it and going through it, sorry, is just like it's so much easier to advise people on that and say, look, well, I'm going through the same. I know how you feel. Here's what I've done. I think that experience is vital, in my opinion.
Definitely need to experience what it actually feels like to get into that position and get lean and that, especially when you're feeling hungry. So I thought the client's saying, so, oh, I feel hungry. I was like, good, that's what you're supposed to fucking feel like at this
Yeah.
point when you're getting lean. It's normal. I was like, you need to embrace hunger. You can't like diet down. You can't get lean without feeling hungry. That there's something fucking wrong if not. It's just as soon as you start losing body fat, ghrelin increases, leptin decreases, they're just like hunger signaling hormones, and then just going to want to make you eat food. So hunger's going to increase because your body wants to maintain where it's at, but you want to get leaner. So you just got to think, like, fuck that. Just crack on. Don't cave in when you're fucking hungry. Like, how bad do you fucking want it?
Yeah, but then
Some
if you've never been in shape or you've never had to diet or anything like that, you don't know what that feels like. You don't know what the client's going through. You can't really relate and empathize with that because you're just a bit, ah, they're just like being a bit of a drama queen. Oh, fuck it, it's not that bad. Like because they just don't know what it feels like. So again, you can have all the theory in the world, but the practical experience is, it's going to make a huge difference. It's going to set you apart. I suppose if you're like a new PT or someone getting into PT and you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, I can't do it now because I'm not in shape. It's not to say that, but it's like go get yourself in shape, go get yourself shredded, and the experiences you have will be vital. Again, get a coach, because having a coach will teach you how to coach. If you've got a good coach anyway, will teach you how to coach,
you get a good coach, fucking
or it might teach you how not to coach, to be fair. Like
Yeah,
I think.
sure. Just question everything when you get a coach. Just like, are they doing it right? Is this the right way of doing things?
Yeah, I mean, I've had coaches where it's been a bit of paper and there's your diet, go do that. And actually, it's worked well enough for me. But you've kind of got to identify again where would that approach work well and where wouldn't it work well? Well, it worked well with me because I was a competitive bodybuilder at the time who would do anything you'd fucking ask me to do. So like, give me a bit of paper, I'll go away and do it, come back and see you next week. But if I go give that to, fucking Frida down the road, who has never been to a gym in her life, she looks at that and she's like, 300 grams sweet potato, 100 grams chicken. She's probably not going to stick to that for very long, is she? Sorry, Frida. It'd be awkward if there is. I think there is a Frida on my street, actually.
Oh, really? Sorry for me, no.
I don't think she listens to the podcast anyway, but apologies, Frida, if you're listening to this. I'm sure you would stick to the sweet potato meal plan if push came to shove. But I think working with coaches myself, I've took a lot in terms of things that I've wanted to implement into my own coaching, but there's also been things that I don't want to implement into my own coaching. There's been ways that coaches have dealt with things that I'm a bit like, I wouldn't really do it that way myself. That doesn't really sit well with me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. But fucking hell, like, since joining Christian, he coaches really well. He's
Yeah.
really good with people, like really, really good people.
Christian, oh, I love you, Christian.
Nah,
Every podcast in a minute,
he is good at what he does.
Remember that episode of In-Betweeners where like
Jay.
one of them got a girlfriend and they were like beep,
Yeah.
every time they mentioned her name, like, I'm gonna stop
That, yeah, Simon. I
her.
remember that.
Yeah, I couldn't remember which one it was, but that was a good show, to be fair. They don't really do many TV shows like that, do they?
Yeah, that's
You
it.
know
But
my favorite like comedy TV show is Come Fly With Me. You know the guys that do Little Britain?
oh yeah.
Yeah, they done that. That was fantastic. I felt like it was very underrated as well. Like, have you seen it?
Yeah, I remember that fucking
Yeah.
hell ages ago. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's old.
Yeah. Very good though. I think it's like completely off everything now because it's like so fucking, it's quite racist, to be honest. I mean, it's funny though. It's not like cruel. It's not mean. Like, this is the problem with the world nowadays. Everyone's like so fucking sensitive. It's like,
Soft.
yeah, make a fucking joke. Like, if someone says something to me about being a pale fucking Scotsman or something like that, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, I'm so offended. How dare you? How dare you say that to me? How dare you, suggest I'm a man?
Me, I'm a female police officer.
it is just fucking like, oh, PG gun. What is it they say? PG gone mad or something?
Yeah, what the fuck is it? Yeah, PC, politically correct.
That's
Fucking.
politically correct. That's it. Yeah, no, something like that. It's a mad world we live in. So that's off subject.
Where were you going with that? Like, back on track. What we're
Back on
saying.
track. Let's not get cancelled because we said something that some sensitive soul somewhere didn't like.
Yes.
There's a fat PT sitting somewhere like crying to this podcast.
Yeah, tell you what, if you are fat PT and you're like
Get
watching this
shaped.
podcast, stop being fat.
Again, like, there's a difference though, like, because your idea of fat and my idea of fat are both different to maybe someone else's idea of fat, right? Because like, for us, we're like off season and being out of shape. We're not saying you need to be a fucking shredded cunt all the time. You
Yeah.
just need to be working on something, I would say, or at least like I suppose here's what you probably need to do. You need to be either in shape or you need to be like out of shape for a reason, gaining, for example. I wouldn't call that being totally out of shape because compared to most people, it's still in good shape. Maybe working towards some competitive goals. Maybe if you're doing something like a HYROX, if you thought that way. No judgment here, but we are judging you. Like maybe powerlifting, something like that. There's got to be something. You've got to be, in my opinion, anyway. And these are all our views. But
So if I was to get back into, like, if I was to start PT again from scratch, go back in time or whatever, here's what I'd do. Get in shape. Literally get in shape, create that social proof of yourself, create respect, people like that, and then they've got more, like, they definitely sign up with you. Then you've got more experience and you're better at coaching them because you've actually felt what you're going through, like we're speaking about before.
Yeah, I'd probably do the same. Like, just get myself in shape, but also probably like it's going down a different route here of like what we're meant to be talking about, but like if I was a new PT starting over, I'd get myself in shape and I'd probably offer to get 10 people in shape for free
Yeah.
and hope that five of them do it, so I've got some social proof.
Exactly. Yeah. Just literally, because no one's going to buy into you straight away, but they will do if it's free. But chances are, if it was 10 people, yeah, you ain't getting all 10 of those fucking shredded because they ain't paying no money. They've got no investment in it. So.
That's exactly what I done. I think I offered it out to like 10 people and two of them finished it and I got some good for before and afters of two of them. But like I was also doing my own bodybuilding prep at the time. Again, you don't need to be a bodybuilder, but like I was doing my own bodybuilding prep at the time. So I was getting in shape, they were getting in shape, I was showing social proof of both of them. And I think showing that like then led to, because I remember, right, like the first time when I became a PT and I got qualified and I put out a post and I was like, right, that's me qualified as a PT now. I'll be PTing from this gym. Give me a message if you want some sessions. And it was like tumbleweed. It was just like nothing. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I just thought like I was going to get qualified as a PT. I was like, right, that's it. People are going to come flocking. And it didn't work like that. And then it wasn't until I got a few clients, don't get me wrong, I got a wee start in that. And then the lockdown came. Then I was obviously getting myself in shape because I was planning on competing that year, which was a fucking terrible idea, but that's another story. And then I'd done the offer to get people in shape for free, got two of them in shape, got the before and afters. And like after the lockdown, after showing all that through the months of the lockdown, so March, April, May, June, July, August, then in September, people came flying in through the door. And like within like 2 months, I went from like being employed to being self-employed, which turned out to be a terrible decision because there was a another lockdown coming that we didn't know about.
It was
That's another story.
in that December. Yeah, it was fucking. That was a mess.
Yeah, that one was the worst one. The summer one was great. The second one was shit. It was
That was
awful.
depressing. I was still training at a gym at that point as well, luckily.
Yeah. Well,
Yeah.
so was I most of the time. Throughout the summer one, the whole time I trained at that wee PT studio I was at before. The winter one, I did do a bit of my garage or my shed, not my garage. I don't have a garage, like I did a little bit in there, and that's all right. And then the Body Academy in Perth, they had like an outdoor area as well that they set up for people to use. So like we were out there in the fucking snow, like with limited equipment, but it was pretty cool to be honest. Like it was good. So yeah, just you found a way to keep going, but yeah, that's a whole other story. But like you say, I would definitely go on my own like sort of journey. Because again, you can show that and
Yeah,
show
there's
it as social
content.
proof.
Yeah, that's literally content in the day. And then I've had some PTs message me over the last like month or so. They're just starting out at Pure Gym. They followed me for a while saying, "Hey mate, how do I get more clients?" Literally just a message like that. I was like, "How do you get more clients anyway?" I just looked at the content and it was just shit, just things of them training, loads of these fucking like effects and stuff like that, transitioning from like doing fucking shitty fucking barbell rows, worst fucking like technique ever. And then into like some fucking pressing and stuff. It was just a mash, an absolute fucking mess. It's like,
But I'm gonna like butt in and say, don't, if you're listening to this, don't be put off by that either. Like you kind of got to go through the shit. Like I put
yeah.
out some really shit content at the start as well. I probably still do, to be honest. But
Yeah.
like you've kind of got to go through it. It's like when you first start training anyway, you're going to the gym and you're gonna be shit. You're gonna be a shit PT to begin with, really. So you just need to be shit and
Yeah.
get like focus on getting better, eh?
Yeah, you need to learn and stuff like that, but it's just like content is king. So get yourself in shape, focus on the content, what message you want to put out there, what people when you work with, your niece, etc. Learn some shit.
Your niece, did you say?
Niche.
Just put pictures of your niece up, like, this is my niece, come work with me. Contact me for PT.
You definitely want to learn some shit in terms of like biomechanics training, what you're actually looking at when you are fucking training people, because some PTs just stand there cluelessly, fucking letting the client do whatever they fucking want.
Especially as an in-person PT, probably one of the first like courses you want to do is some sort of biomechanics course. Whether that be through like Integral, Michael Goulden, or I don't know if the PT projects are still doing stuff, are they?
Don't think they are, no, because they got fucking bollocks from RTS, didn't they? What's on?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the script is with them, but like they might have been a better entry point because I feel like they
Yeah.
might put the basics across a bit better and then you can kind of go to Michael. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Like definitely if you're an in-person PT, that's something you're going to want to do because like knowing mechanics and knowing how to see like like the right thing when you're looking at someone, and how to coach exercise without a set of rules becomes pretty important, I would say. But yeah, like it all stems from the first thing, though, getting yourself in shape. Like, but
That's it.
a lot of people do. A lot of people get into PTing because they've got themselves in shape, don't they?
Yeah, that's it. They got themselves in the shape. They think, all right, I'm motivated now. What can I do with this? And then,
I
yeah,
mean, how
but
many out of shapes PTs do you actually see?
a few.
Yeah, do you?
Did.
Like, there's probably more around about you than there is around about me,
There's a
because
few. Like, I was just like thinking, is that, are you really trying? I was like, why do you still look like that? It's like, yeah.
I know of a lot of PTs that maybe aren't out of shape, but they've never really been in shape either. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Stayed the same. They've not really made any progress in terms of physique goals.
Yeah, and again, when I think about the kind of clients that they attract, they're not clients that are wanting body transformations, if you know what I mean. So again, it's going to depend very much on your niche. And you know, there's a PT round near me who doesn't post any transformations, not about before and afters. And maybe for her niche, just being in good shape and not really like going through, you know, gaining and cutting and things like that, you know, for her that's probably not a bad thing, as long as she's in relatively good shape. But I think the story is practicing what you preach, isn't it? Like, if you're not doing it, why the fuck would they do it?
Yeah, exactly. And that's
Yeah.
it. Depends who you're calling. And if it's just like normal people and all they want to do is be healthier and fitter.
Yeah. And I think, like, when I think of this girl, she it looks as if she's kind of doing what she's preaching to her clients, if that makes sense, which is fine. But I do always wonder with that, because it's maybe a bit more holistic compared to me, we'll say, right? But then I do always wonder, if you've got an overweight client, at some point you need to diet them. At some point you can't say to them, well, oh, like, just have that croissant.
Yeah,
Well,
but you gotta think like fucking most people wanna lose weight, wanna lose body fat, and they wanna gain muscle. So it's literally
yeah.
90% of the people.
I don't care what anyone says, I do think that, yeah, 99% of clients are going
9%.
to want that before and after photo, aren't they? Which
Yeah.
is why social proof is so powerful as a coach. But yeah, like, as much as, like, yeah, like, again, I don't want to necessarily bash anyone I know personally, but like, that as much as a holistic movement is a thing, and there is people that's going to appeal to, I think deep down a lot of these people still either need or want a body transformation.
Yeah, exactly. If someone's coming in and weighing like 130 kilograms and you ain't got much muscle, they need to lose some body fat.
They definitely need to lose some body fat for their health. Like, not for a fucking before and after photo for the sake of the coach, which is a whole other subject. Because, like, while we do put them out there, like, it's never at the expense of the client and their health.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big thing. I mean, like, bodybuilding is a bit extreme, and photo shoot preps are a bit extreme, and you may not be in the healthiest place when you do them. But like, we're not like, you know, it's not like that coach that the one that kills people off. We're not like that.
Oh, yeah, fucking Shelby Stearns or whatever. To be fair, he killed anyone recently, so he's doing better.
Yeah, he's got like 6 months, like, you know, killing people free.
Got
It's
deaths on the record. So.
like, you know, was it like The Simpsons or something? It's like, so many days since last accident. He's got
Yeah.
that in his office. I don't actually know who this guy is, to be honest. Just you that's told me about him. So,
Still, I've not seen anyone post of him. I don't have, there's no one who knows who's
his
coach.
clients can't post about him because they're all dead.
Yeah, that's a good idea. No fucking backlash from it if you kill
But
him.
yeah, I think it's very important that whatever message you're trying to put out there, and whatever clients you're trying to attract, I think you need to be living proof of that. And like, for you and me, like, if we're putting out body transformation stuff, we need to be showing that we're working on our own body transformation. So is that, you know, going through cutting phases? Is that going through gaining phases? And, you know, like, showing our progress in the gym and showing what we eat, and like, showing that we live it. And so many people have said that to me, like when they're bumming me up and they're giving me good reviews, they're like, you know, this guy lives and breathes it. And that's exactly what I want people to think, because I fucking do. Like, but it, you know, I had this conversation with a client the other day. It'd be weird living your life any other way, though.
I
Like,
know that literally that's what I was thinking. I was like, when I was thinking the other day, what they used to do with food, yeah, before I started tracking and being consistent and then, you know, eating the same meals and stuff like that. I thought, what the fuck did they do? I was like, how many meals did they even eat? I don't even know.
I probably had breakfast and then, right, I probably actually ate pretty similar in the sense of like, I at similar times, I'd have a breakfast, I'd have like, because I worked in construction with my dad, like you'd have a piece break at like 10 a.m., then you'd have your lunch, and then you'd eat after like work. So like, and then I'd probably have something before bed as well anyway. So I'm like, I was still eating like 5 times a day, but it's like, it's obviously went from being like, cereal and toast in the morning to oats, from, a sandwich and some crisps to, chicken and potato or something. It's like that's the difference. So yeah, like, but I probably had a similar structure, but like imagine just being a person that just like has like breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, by the way, if anyone's listening to this, like, but like to us it's just so far away. Like so it was such a long time ago, isn't it?
It is crazy looking back in it. It's crazy.
I do it on holiday. Do you like, do you, what do you do on holiday? Like,
When I went away, so 3 meals a day, trying to have plenty of protein in them, eat what the fuck I want, and then get absolutely smashed.
yeah, well, yeah, I don't do the smash bit to be fair, but definitely the rest of it. But, like, so do you have like 3 quite big meals then?
Reasonably what I want, yeah. Big meals, just make sure I get a lot of protein in each of the meals, and then.
But here's the thing, when I'm out of routine, I don't feel hungry at the same times, like I
Yeah,
like I
that's why I
would.
was only having 3 meals, because now I'm on like five. I used to be on
Yeah.
six, and then I was just going away eating like 3 meals and thought, I'm not hungry. It was that like, because I was busy doing stuff, and fair, I was drinking as well between. But
I'm
yeah.
not hungry. It's amazing. I say I'm not hungry, necking back the vodkas.
Just get another tequila,
I
yeah.
don't know why I'm not hungry. Now I'm really not hungry.
Yes.
Fucking hell, I'm talking more shit than usual today, eh?
I know, fucking hell. It's that Ultimate Orange pre-workout that you've had.
There's a few people just unsubscribed from the podcast like today. That Connor's a right dick, isn't he? Like I thought he was all right, but it turns out episode 72, he turns into a dick. Don't even know what episode number this is. It's 70 something, but it's probably not 72.
This weather, mate, fucking hell.
But
It is.
wait, this is 77 this week, Jesus. But
Oh,
when
yeah.
you're out of routine, it does make a big difference. Like you just, I'll get hungry at certain times. I'm used to eating at certain times right now. But yeah, when I'm out of routine, it just doesn't happen the same. Which will be next week for me because I'm going away on holiday. So excited!
You're always fucking away on holiday. Where are you going next week?
I'm going to Turkey, mate. Looking forward to it. Second holiday of the year and the last one probably.
Where in Turkey?
Balık.
Balık, yeah, I'm going to say that. There's a lot of golf courses
A
there.
lot of golf courses. I went last year and I wasn't interested in golf, so I didn't even look at them. But this year I will be looking at them a bit closer. I'll be inspecting them with a fine tooth comb.
Well, we'll be off. There's got to be a Physique Factory golf day soon. Maybe
Yeah.
next year, do you reckon? Once we've got
I think
things.
I'm getting good enough now that I'm quite quite excited that I could do it, and I think I'd probably beat you to be honest. Let's not go too far. But like I think before I was like just really learning the ropes, but I think I can at least play a game now without embarrassing myself.
Yeah, about that's sweet. What clubs have you got now?
Well, I've got them right here, Jamesy boy.
Let's have a look.
So the irons, I should have stood up for this, are some TaylorMade Stealth. So
Nice stuff, yeah. They'll do
that was
you.
shout out to my client Mikey, who we swapped this for PT, so got like a set of irons from him
That's not
for
bad at all.
PT sessions. I have invested in a putter. Oh,
Oh,
nice.
you got a spot, yeah, the spider. Nice. Yeah, the
This
spider.
had made a difference to my game, by the way. Like, I think it's the height because it's like 33 inches. Well, my last one was too tall, so this has made a big difference. I'm actually putting like
Yeah,
acceptable.
those spiders are nice. What driver have you got?
See, this is where it falls down a little bit. This is like a ping driver.
Oh, yeah, the K15. Yeah, I remember that.
Another client of mine picked that one up and he was like, no wonder you're struggling to hit the ball straight. Like the old clubs have just not got the technology of the new ones. And I was like, ah, yeah. I had no idea what he meant. So,
Fucking hell. Yeah, I just got a new driver, new free wood, a new set of irons.
what would you recommend in terms of a driver? What sort of club?
I got a TaylorMade sim, and then I got a sim 2 free wood.
Do
So
you get fitted for it or? Like,
No, I just went and got them. There's like used, but I've got my shaft that was in my old driver because I fucking spent £300 on it. I'm gonna get it put in that new driver
you
because
can
it's still,
spend a lot of money on golf, can't you?
yeah, it's still like an extra stiff shaft in the new driver, but it's not as stiff as wanted because it's just too fucking flicky. So yeah.
Yeah, I see. I don't need to think about that, to be honest, because I'm just not good enough to think about that yet. I would love to buy a new driver and get a fancy one, but like at the same time, I'm like, it's not really going to change my game that much at the minute. I'm not playing enough at the minute, though, to be fair. Like, I could do with playing more, but it's just fucking time, isn't it? That's a problem with golf.
That's it. I know it takes fucking a while, doesn't it, when you're on the course?
Yeah, it definitely does. If like once I'm retired, I'll be the best in the world, I would say, or at least second best. Like maybe like you'd be the best, but no, it's a cool sport. Like, and obviously the fact that you get a lot of steps in, it was helping through that dieting phase there for sure. Like, because it distracts you, and B, like obviously you get a lot of steps in, but you do get fucking hungry going around there though.
Oh, you do. Yeah, you do. Fucking hell,
Do
halfway around.
you play much when you're dieting?
Yeah, I'm trying to do at least like once or twice a week. So I went 3 times last week,
Oh, fair
which
enough.
yeah, I don't know. It's just weather depending. Fucking, I need
Yeah.
to get out and then
Even
yeah.
like we've got a bit of wind at the minute. Like I'm not good enough to play into wind.
Oh, it's a fucking nightmare, the wind. I hate playing in the wind.
Yeah, it's not good. So let's sum this up. What are you saying to fat PTs out there, James?
Get in shape, show what you can do, experience it, show it to potential clients, and then you're likely to get more clients.
That's a wrap. Perfect.